This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, August 11th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. We'll also have a look at your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The clock is ticking on a plan to limit pay-to-play politics in Illinois. Governor Rod Blagojevich is until near the end of the month to act, but it's unclear what action he'll take, as Sean Crawford reports.
Blagojevich has said he would like to improve on what lawmakers sent him, which essentially prohibits large state contractors from giving big contributions to the politicians who award them the work. But if he chooses to rewrite the measure, as he's doing with some other legislation, there's a good chance the General Assembly won't agree, resulting in no change to the campaign finance system. David Morrison of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform says he hopes for a different outcome.
This bill came through the General Assembly without a single dissenting vote. There's a broad consensus that this ought to be law, and the governor should join with that consensus. The way to enact reform is to bring people to the table and win their agreement through discussion, not to force it on them from above.
Scandals surrounding the Blagojevich administration and its predecessors are the impetus for the plan. An analysis of Blagojevich's most recent round of contributions found about one quarter of them would have been barred if the plan was already law. The governor has also hinted he might be willing to negotiate ethics legislation as part of an attempt to get a deal on a statewide construction package. Morrison and his group say the measure should be kept out of any further deal-making. I'm Sean Crawford.
The governor is using his mandatory veto to suggest lawmakers give full property tax exemptions to some veterans. It's part of Blagojevich's campaign to rewrite bills sent to him by lawmakers that he contends he can improve. Blagojevich's office said rewriting a House bill to expand the disabled veterans' standard homestead exemption could help 16,000 Illinois veterans with severe service-connected disabilities. The governor says veterans deserve added protection from rising property taxes. He announced the revisions yesterday at the Illinois State Fair. Lawmakers have to approve the changes for them to be law. Blagojevich has hinted he wants to make changes to dozens of bills. Lawmakers have accused him of not respecting them by revising bills they sent him. Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn wants the Illinois Senate to reject automatic pay raises for lawmakers and top government officials during this week's special session. In May, the House rejected pay raises. The Senate has yet to vote. And if the body doesn't by Wednesday, the pay raises will automatically take effect. Those benefiting would include the governor, lawmakers, and other top officials like the attorney general and judges. Quinn says the pay raises are unfair. The governor stands to get more than $192,000 by July 2009, up from about $171,000. Quinn gets more pay, too, if the Senate doesn't vote, but he says he would donate the money to charity. A center named for a former Illinois governor who made two unsuccessful presidential runs has held its inaugural event on the workings of the American political system. The event yesterday evening at the Adlai Stevenson Center looked at how the presidential nomination process has changed over the last several decades. The center, named for Adlai Stevenson II, is in Stevenson's former home in the Lake County town of Medawa, near Libertyville. Stevenson was the Democratic presidential nominee in 1952 and 1956, losing both times to Republican Dwight Eisenhower. The center was founded in December as a nonpartisan, non-ideological organization to promote discussion and education about democracy. Supporters of a proposed hate crime resolution are holding a public rally next week in Terre Haute, Indiana, to speak out against hate crimes and violence. Rally organizers want the Terre Haute City Council to pass a local resolution urging state lawmakers to pass a hate crimes bill. The Indiana General Assembly has considered hate crime bills before, but has never passed legislation that would allow judges to consider it an aggravating factor if a criminal selected a victim because of factors such as race or religion. Critics of hate crime laws say that penalties from crimes should be the same no matter who the victims are, but supporters say biased crimes have a chilling effect on people who are members of a particular group. A new memorial at Indianapolis's Crown Hill Cemetery pays homage to John Woodruff, the first African-American to win Olympic gold at the 1936 Berlin Olympics. A granite bench was erected last week under an oak tree to honor the champion runner, who was 92 when he died last year in an assisted living center near Phoenix. Woodruff won the 800-meter race at the 1936 Berlin Olympics, joining Jesse Owens as black Americans who won gold medals in the face of Adolf Hitler and his master race agenda. Woodruff won gold with a daring strategy, finding himself trapped between two runners in the 800-meter race. He came to a full stop, switched lanes, and passed all of his competition. The Connellsville, Pennsylvania native lived for years in Indianapolis. His widow, 85-year-old Rose Woodruff, says the bench honoring her husband near his grave is wonderful. Police in rural Illinois have found themselves making cuts to deal with high fuel prices. Sheriff Tom Templeton of LaSalle County in north central Illinois says he's asked his deputies to turn off the air conditioning in their patrol cars. Jeff Standard is sheriff in Fulton County, also in north central Illinois. He says he may have to eliminate roving patrols by the end of the year. In western Illinois, Hancock County Sheriff John Jefferson says he's asked his officers to handle more calls over the phone. And in Bureau County in north central Illinois, Sheriff John Thompson says he's already used this year's budget for fuel. Officials with the Internal Revenue Service in Chicago say more than 200,000 residents of Illinois haven't applied for their stimulus checks. The tax rebates are part of the federal government's $168 billion economic aid plan approved early this year. Chicago IRS spokeswoman Sue Hales says low-income senior citizens, disabled veterans, and those with disabilities are eligible for the checks. David Irwin is a spokesman for the AARP in Illinois. He says senior citizens account for about 70% of Illinoisans who haven't applied for their stimulus checks. IRS officials say residents have until October 15th to apply for the checks. Comedian Bernie Mac's 30-year-old daughter says when her father entered a Chicago hospital 3 weeks ago, she thought he would come back home. But Mac's daughter, Janice Childress, tells the Associated Press that as time passed, she and her mother braced for the possibility that the actor could die. The 50-year-old Mac died Saturday of complications from pneumonia. His daughter said Mac had been at Northwestern Memorial Hospital since the middle of July. She called her dad a loving father, husband, and grandfather. She added that there was always laughter in their home. A public memorial is planned for next Saturday at House of Hope in Chicago. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Have you caught that Olympic spirit yet? Commentator Amy Guida explains that a judge in Arizona certainly did, freeing an Olympic coach just in time for training. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
There's something special in the air when the Olympics return every 2 years. It's hard not to get swept up in the whole thing, the competition, the excitement, the national pride. And you've got to wonder what role that Olympic spirit played in a courtroom in Arizona just a couple of months ago. One of the lead coaches of the U.S. wrestling team, Roman Roklowski, sat behind bars earlier this summer, then a judge set him free. It's a long story. Roklowski is from Poland. NPR says that you might remember him as the coach near the mat shouting instructions to an American wrestler who beat a Russian in a major upset for the gold medal in 2000. Poland claims that Roklowski committed two crimes there in the mid-1990s, conspiracy to defraud a bank and embezzlement. The coach denies the charges and argues that it's just Poland's attempt to get back at him for writing a tell-all book about what he described as rampant corruption in the athletic programs in the country. You do have to wonder why Poland would wait until 2005, more than 10 years after the original charges, to file what the court called a provisional arrest, suggesting that Roklowski had left the country to avoid prison. A federal court in Arizona received an extradition request just last October. Roklowski's been living here in the United States as a legal permanent resident of the U.S., and more importantly, he's a really good coach. What does all that have to do with law and legal process? Well, not that much last December. Back then, Roklowski asked the court to set him free on bail. Trouble is that the extradition statute that put him in jail in the first place doesn't give just anyone the right to bail. Roklowski argued that his case fit the very unusual special circumstances exception within the statute. He said he wasn't a flight risk and had good character. But the court wasn't persuaded. Past courts granted a special circumstances exception, the judge explained, when the detainee was merely a teenager or had posted $12 million, a major chunk of a tax debt. So Roklowski returned to jail. Then 6 months later, in early June, just as those Olympics ads started appearing on TV, the wrestling coach came back to the same judge to re-argue that whole special circumstances thing as what the judge called a renewed request for release. This time, Coach Rychlowski explained, he fit the special circumstances bill because the Olympics were just weeks away, and he had American wrestlers to prepare for trials and the Olympic Games. This time, witnesses testified that Rychlowski was one of a handful of elite Greco-Roman wrestling coaches in the world. This time, 9 wrestlers came forward to ask that Coach Rychlowski be freed to help them train for the Olympics. And that American wrestler who won the gold medal in the upset against the Russian, he testified too. So this time the court found that Rychlowski's situation was indeed a special circumstance deserving release pending extradition. First and foremost on the list of reasons why, the Olympic Games were calling. The Arizona Republic newspaper put his extradition hearing date as sometime in August. One hopes that the court would set it for late August after the closing ceremonies and all. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Sunny skies today in our forecast, the high around 75 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the low around 55, mostly sunny tomorrow, the high around 80. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, the low around 60, partly sunny Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 78, partly cloudy Wednesday night through Friday with lows in the lower 60s, high around 82 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, August 11th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.